We're going to do something a little different today. We put the boys on the spot in Sunday school. Gavin and Aiden shared about their experiences with Young Life. So now we're going to have their leaders come up. Dave and Alex are going to come. And I have some questions. I'm going to do a little interview with them. And Alex said, we're on before the sermon. I said, you are the sermon.
That's right.
So,
amen.
If you don't stretch these questions out, somebody up here is going to have to preach.
You're saying I'm supposed to preach right now?
But I know. If we go short on these answers, then you'll...
Oh, don't worry. Alex talks an awful lot. He'll stretch it out.
Young Life Ministries.
Way to build me up.
Dave was there when it all began 81 years ago.
82.
82 years.
That's not funny.
He told me last night that it's been worse. He said that his kids asked him what it was like to sit on Jesus' knees.
They do.
Do you want to start off just by telling us what Young Life is all about? Some of these people may not know.
Sure.
What Young Life is.
Sure. It was, I think the year was maybe 1939, and a young man by the name of Jim Rayburn had just graduated from Dallas Seminary in Youth Ministries and took a job as a youth pastor in the town of Gainesville, Texas. And the pastor of the church saw something in Jim Rayburn that was unique. And he came to Jim and said, you know, we're doing pretty well with our youth ministry here in church, but two blocks down the road is that high school. Those kids aren't doing well, and you have this giftedness to go after those kind of kids. So that's going to be, I'm going to commission you in a sense to go after those kids at that high school. And that basically was the birth of Young Life. Jim went down to that high school and started hanging out with kids, and by the end of the school year, I think there were about 150 kids from that high school because of his presence that were coming to a thing that became known in Young Life as Young Life Club. And it just grew from there. A lot of principals got involved. The idea being that we go into the world of kids, and we are the fragrance of Christ, and we earn the right to be heard, and then we get to tell the story, the gospel of Jesus. So that's basically, and it's been almost 79 years now, I think. It was incorporated in 1941. So that's who we are. Where we are in every state in the country, although Rhode Island is barely hanging on.
It's there.
It's there, though. It's there. And then we're in about 100 different countries in the world as well. So it's kind of grown over the years for sure.
Great. Alex, could you tell us a little about your life? What drew you to Christ, and how did you get involved with Young Life?
My parents divorced when I was five, and my mom would force me to go to church every week with her. I did not like it. I would try to get out of it, fake sick, all that stuff. Sometimes it worked, sometimes it did not. But I grew up, I would say, in a weird way, I would say I didn't necessarily grow up in a Christian home, but I grew up in church, if that makes sense. I grew up kind of knew the right answers, but did not know Jesus, didn't really want to know Jesus. I thought church was boring, and so if church was boring, then Jesus was boring, and I wanted to have nothing to do with him. That was kind of where I was in pretty much most of my childhood, and then because of that, I tried to find life in other things. A big one was sports, some girls, and then probably the big one was drugs and partying, and I was kind of the stoner kid, would get high with my soccer buddies all the time, and eventually, towards senior year, eventually couldn't afford it anymore, so I started dealing a little bit just to get some for free, and then went off to college, and started once again, kind of smooth and weave the soccer team. And but there was kind of meanwhile, there was this young, they called it a Christian Life House, is what they called it, and they would do this outreach event once a week, which a Christian Life House is a terrible name for an outreach ministry. But anyway, so they would have this once a week thing where they called it Cinnamon Roll Tuesdays, where they would, the school would actually give them a budget just to buy a ton of cinnamon rolls, and they would just have people over and hang out. Some of my soccer friends would invite me every week to go over there. And every week I'd say no, and kind of made some excuse. But then, long story short, a couple months went by, and finally decided to say yes to going there. And as soon as I walked in the door, there were these group of guys that they were just really excited, and they like hugged me. They're like, nice to meet you. It's kind of awkward for me, but because I didn't hug people. But they like just asked me questions about my life. They just wanted to get to know me in a way that, you know, my smoking, drinking buddies didn't. I mean, it was just, they were interested in who I really was, and it was something about those guys that just made me want to be around them all the time. You know, now I know it was Jesus in them, but at the time I had no idea. I just found myself over at the house a couple of days a week more and more, and found out a lot of those guys were Young Life guys, and they were Young Life leaders. And at my high school, growing up in Virginia, we had about 150 kids go to Young Life every week. I was not one of them, but I knew what Young Life was, and so I kind of decided I wanted. I didn't really know the Lord. I would say I had a relationship with Jesus because I grew up in church, but I wasn't really following Him. But then through that, wanted to lead Young Life, and so went through Young Life training, and kind of through Young Life training, starting to read the Bible, and I started to get it. But then it was actually, I was placed to be a leader when I wasn't ready. My freshman year, towards the end of my freshman year of college, I got the head varsity soccer coaching job at the high school I got placed to lead at. Ended up taking about 3/4 of the team to summer camp. And it was actually through leading a lot of them to Christ that I actually got it. So it was kind of like, it was almost like doing ministry. I still wouldn't say I like came to Christ, but I would say that it was like my whole world flipped upside down. And that actually, watching these guys like Aaron Fool and this hard running back kid who wouldn't say a word during any of the cabin times every night, in full tears after the crosstalk, just watching stuff like that, I just had the thought, why would I do anything else with my life than this? And that kind of set me on the path to go on to be a Young Life leader full time. So
great, great.
Don't do drugs anymore.
Oh, all right. All right.
I'm sure it was implied. It was implied, but it was. Just to wrap that up.
Okay, Dave, it's been a few years since you've been with us. What have you been doing the past few years, and are you facing any major changes?
Yeah, that's a setup question right there. I gave him that question, by the way. So, yeah, for the past few years, in fact, more like the past 6 years, I've had the title of, in Young Life, of a regional developer, which means that I would go into communities apart from my own community and help them start Young Life, or if they were a struggling Young Life area, I'd do what I could to resource them and help them and encourage them. So that was what I had been doing for the past 3 years, particularly in the city of Springfield, in the city of Marlboro, which is on the other side of Worcester, and then also some work with actually a Roman Catholic church down south of Springfield. And I do want to say, we are all in Young Life very encouraged with what's happening with the connections with Young Life and the Roman Catholic Church. Pope Francis sees the need and has said this publicly, that our youth need to be evangelized. And he means that the way we mean it, that kids in the churches need to meet Christ. And so there's a bunch of partnerships that are beginning to happen with young. We don't get into the doctrinal stuff, you know, but I mean, the stuff that separates us is not so much what we get, but there's the purity of bringing Jesus to folks. So I've had a chance to meet some of the priests down there and bring young life to them. And then in Marlborough and in Springfield. The change now is that, and I've also been involved with that, you know, with Alex's area, my old local area, mostly with middle school kids, in a ministry we call Wildlife. But as of October 1st, I took a giant step in a direction that I think is a long, slow process to slowing down, where I went part-time with Young Life. I don't think it means a whole lot right now in terms of the change in hours or what I'm doing, but what it does mean is it's the beginning of asking that question, what does it mean to slow down? I'm still going out to Marlboro. Even more, I'm committed to helping Alex with Wildlife, and I've still see some of the guys down in Springfield, and I'm available to the region, to the bigger picture if they need me. So that's kind of what I'm into. But the big thing is figuring out what it means to be part time.
Okay, Alex, you've taken over as area director from Dave. He's been there a long time. What's the transition been like?
Yeah, it. I will say, it's a lot. It's better now than it was in the beginning, but it's not because it's because Dave is a legend in our area, and naturally someone who's been there and kind of built this thing from the ground up. There's just naturally a giant shadow that whoever it would be kind of enters into, and it took a lot of time to. When a decision needed to be made, people's eyes, you know, would still shift towards Dave in the beginning. And Dave, I will say Dave was really intentional towards the beginning about, like, he would remove himself from committee meetings. And he was really intentional about trying to give me the space for people to start to shift their eyes towards me in that sense. He was a huge help with that in the beginning, for sure. And there's still a shadow, but it's a lot easier now than there once was. I mean, Dave's the guy. I mean, half the parents of kids in our area know Christ because of Dave. I mean, he's just been there forever, done phenomenal ministry, and has stories of getting shot at in Haiti and just insane, legendary stuff that, you know. You can't beat and you shouldn't try, you know. So there's, it's been a good transition. And Dave, I mean, he's one of my biggest supporters and encouragers, and he's the guy I go to in the area for help. And it's been awesome. I think one thing I will say about the transition, there are things that are hard about having the previous person in the area still, but there are also huge blessings of having that person. So I think typically in Young Life areas, if someone comes in, it's because someone has come out and there's someone kind of filling that. But I think this has actually given a lot more space for transition of relationships, key relationships too in the community. And Dave's introduced me to so many people that it probably would not have gone half as smooth if he was in some other area. So it's been a great transition. So, and we're a team.
Yeah.
So it's been awesome.
I might cry.
he's not that great.
Thank you.
We have the same thing happening in one of our churches in my pastor's fellowship. Two of the pastors, co-pastor Northville Baptist Church, George Hopper and Rick Klug, and they brought in a young person to take their place. They're retiring, I think, the 1st of December, and staying in the community. But this young man has come in, and he's taking over, which is interesting. Yeah. This makes a nice transition. They're completely supportive of him, and he's learning under them. So it really is a nice way to transition. Dave, how's that transition for you? I know that you're still very busy. One time I talked with you, you were on the road. But how has that transitioned for you?
Sure. It's been good. It really, really has been good. You come to a point where you realize that what used to be isn't any longer. And the energy and the craziness that is all part of working with kids, I kind of was slipping out of my grasp a little bit, you know, with age. And I'll tell you, Alex has brought the crazy back into the area and has done a phenomenal job. Yeah, there's a couple examples of craziness right there. And as Alex said, I had to learn a little bit to let go. I think I remember one of the first weeks that Alex was in charge. Remember this? I told you this story. Stacy and I were up at camp, and we were adult guest hosts at Saranac. And so there's about three couples from our community, in particular from Belchertown, I think. And they saw the camp, and they got a vision for Young Life, and they got so excited about being involved. And they say, how can we get involved? And I said, when we get home, let's get a coffee, and we'll get together, we'll have coffee at somebody's house, and we'll start talking, making plans. So shortly after that, I called Alex. He was back home, and I told him about this. I said, you got some couples that are really excited about getting involved, and so we're going to meet for coffee. And Alex said, oh, okay. And then we hung up. I think within 15 or 20 minutes, Alex called me back and said, Dave, I'm really confused. I kind of thought that the area director, meaning himself, was the one who was sort of in charge of developing the adult committee in the community, and Alex was right, and I said, you're right, so you should have coffee with these folks and not me. But that's the little things like that, I think, along the way, I've had to. Were you going to add something?
No. Well, and I say that. Well, I'd say a part of that too is on me, just as the young buck trying to come in and like establish authority. There's a little of both there.
Yeah. So, all right. But it was good. I think if there's any something that I'm chomping at the bit to see happen again is doing these adventure trips, you know, mission trips to Haiti and Ecuador, and adventure trips to Montana or Alaska, the stuff we used to do. Alex is strategic. He has built a phenomenal work at Belchertown High School and is opening ministries in other schools. I have to be careful what I say.
No, just this is an announcement for you. We are officially going to Colombia in April. We're bringing it back. Woo! David did not know. This happened yesterday.
So you made it. Oh, wow.
So.
All right,
it's happening.
And I knew
God is good.
Going to, but that means so much to me and to all the memories that we have of having these adventures in a far off land and trying to represent Christ by serving people in foreign countries. So that's great. But that's been a few years coming, and I'm glad to see that. The other thing in this transition for me is just to figure out what it means at my age to still do youth ministry and how that works. Somebody sent me a verse years ago that said, I think it's in Psalms, the psalmist says, even in your old age, you shall be full of sap and very green. And I think, maybe I still got some sap in me, you know. Maybe my wife would agree that I'm full of sap. So I think I still have value in this thing. It's just a matter of, you know, together figuring out what that is. So, yep.
So, Alex, other than ribbon dancing, what are the experiences in your ministry this year that filled you with joy?
It's just been like these guys, Aiden and Gavin, they're juniors now. Their whole class of juniors, I don't think I came in necessarily with a vision around that, but maybe just wasn't as communicated to people, but I kind of identified this eighth grade group of guys as this was the future that I was going to try to build club around. And it's just, it's been awesome watching this critical mass of kids now, to where, I mean, it has grown. We talk a lot about like Philippians 2 and how, you know, God started up here, you know, became obedient even to death, you know, and Jesus was exalted up to the top again because of that, right? And we kind of see that as the social ladder of the high school, right? Where seniors are up top and they just stay there, right? Whenever you're on a sports team and ball bags need to get taken, they just yell freshman. Whenever someone's got to get the water, it's just freshman. Freshmen have to pay their dues or nothing. Freshmen can, you know, seniors can name maybe five freshmen, and most of those five are probably siblings. And then their siblings have friends, and then, but the freshmen can name most of the seniors. That's just how it is. They look up to the seniors. The seniors could care less about the freshmen, right? And we talk a lot about kind of leaving a legacy, and what would it look like? What would it look like to have a couple upperclassmen that choose to actually care about freshmen? And it's just been fun to, we've talked about it for years as like a great idea, you know, but eventually now it's come to the point where we have that critical mass of upperclassmen, mm-hmm. and they get it, which has just been awesome. We have even these two kids, Sam and Ryan, who decided to give up the last part of their summer, and they just decided to be orientation leaders for the freshmen kids because they wanted to meet new freshmen and care about them, which that does not happen outside of a resume builder or something. But these guys, like, they actually had these group of 40 freshman guys, and they got them to take a picture with the Young Life sign thrown up, and half of them didn't even know what Young Life was. But at the first club, like, we had, what, 25, 30 freshmen, something like that, at the first club. It's crazy. And it's just been awesome to watch. Like, now all of a sudden we have this group of upperclassmen that are caring about freshmen. And fast forward 4 years, what are those freshmen going to do? They're going to choose to care about freshmen because that's what was done for them, right? And we have this culture that just looks down on people because it's the way it's always been done. And it's just cool. It's like going beyond Young Life. And it's now, it's about kind of creating a new culture within the high school. It's been awesome to watch. It's brought me a lot of joy. Another thing, we took a trip to Carolina Point for summer camp that it was just something we usually go to Saranac, which is still probably the top camp in the United States for Young Life. It's probably our best camp. But we decided, let's just go somewhere far outside of the division. And we just took a busload of kids down to Carolina Point. If you've never been to a Young Life camp, I'd invite you guys to go as an adult guest. It's a sight to see because it's not a church camp. When kids run out of the buses, F-bombs are flying. They're making inappropriate jokes and comments. I mean, it's a wild group of kids. And then somehow, fast forward 7 days later, they're standing up at a say-so, hundreds of them saying, I'm, you know, so-and-so from this town, and I've decided to give my life to Jesus. And there's just nothing like it. And this year, it just so happened that the say-so is what we call it, after the verse, may the Lord's redeemed say-so. It just happened to be on my 30th birthday. And so I kind of ushered in this new decade of watching really tough, far-out kids like Big Red. This guy that almost got us kicked out of a hotel on the write-up because he stole this half medicine ball thing out of the weight room and put it into the pool and started jumping off of it into the pool. And these are the kids we're bringing, you know? Praise the Lord. He has a relationship with Jesus now. But yeah, there's been a lot to rejoice about this summer and this year, really, and a lot of awesome stuff to look forward to as we have a bunch of upperclassmen that get it. So
is camp like the culmination of the whole year? You're kind of working toward that experience and
maybe
the big evangelistic type event?
So yes and no. So it's kind of this hybrid of, it's not truly the start, but it's not truly the finish either, because there's we do kind of build towards this summer camp trip. So in that sense, it is looking like that. That is the finish line where it's like, yes, we've got them here. Because we do have kids that meet Christ in the local area. Gavin met Christ in the local area. His journey, I guess, started with camp, but there is this sense that the camp, our Young Life camps are in a place where we, you know, they're not allowed to have cell phones. They're like present and forced to engage with people, which is great. But then it's just everything about it, the environment to the quality of people that work there, all the, there's humor, like everything is setting up the speaker to proclaim the gospel in a way that is meant for them. It's just, we see it as probably the best shot in Young Life we have. If we can just get them on the bus to camp, that's the best shot. But then it's so, in that sense, it's the finish line. But then when they start a relationship with Christ, we hope to get them plugged into campaigners, give them a vision for their friends, walk them through scripturally, what does it look like to follow Jesus? And that kind of propels ministry going into the fall school year. So it's kind of both the start and the finish line.
Right.
It may have been overcomplicating the answer. But.
I don't know. I like the idea. I like Christian camps. We went to Word of Life when I was a kid, and we thought that was a Cadillac of Christian camps. And we went to Lake Champion. Just incredible camp. And we, a lot of the men who are here in the church today have gone up to the Northeast Men's Retreat. And we had the kids coming from Young Life to serve us from the local area there, and they came and worked for the weekend. And just very gracious, very wonderful kids that came. And we had a great time and enjoyed the facility. And I can just imagine packing the kids in there would be incredible.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's an experience like you've never seen before, where kids, hundreds of them would, as soon as the doors open, there's loud music, and run as fast as they can. You think there's going to be a major, people injured in a stampede. Honestly, do you ever feel, I watch this thing happen,
oh, yes.
And I think, you guys are just flying in there, and there's 400 of you, and running down to the front, and no major, crushing incidents yet, so that I know of. But they come to sit, and it's crazy loud, and then all of a sudden, when the speaker gets up, it just gets quiet. And hearts are open, and it's wonderful. It's wonderful to observe that. So.
Dave, how about you? The experiences that in ministry this year that brought you joy?
Yeah, sure. I think a lot of this has to do with being not as interested in building a program, but more focused on individuals. And so some of the joy comes from there. In the city of Marlboro, we've been meeting there for the past 3 years or so. And we're just in the process now, finally, of hiring a part-time person. Jenny O'Leary, who is a senior at Framingham State, wants to be a school teacher, has fallen in love with Young Life, and she has recruited a little band of volunteer leaders. We've been kind of rustling up a little bit of money, here and there, and so now she's officially going to be on staff, and that's a joy to my heart to see this kid, Jenny, catch a vision for what it can be, and finding some resources to help her do that. In Springfield, Springfield was hard for me. It's a big city. There were hundreds of kids involved from two high schools, and the issues in an urban culture are manifold, and most all of them have to do with poverty and all the things that come out of poverty. So, but I've gotten to know some of the kids. I've gone to their clubs, and there are three guys right now, Isaiah, Gideon, and Grady. And what has, this has been a joy for me. Maybe back in April or something, I was at one of their clubs, and the leader, school teacher, Glenna, she said, you should go talk to Grady. Grady could use somebody to talk to him. And he was a senior, 17-year-old kid, so I went over and talked to him. He was with some friends. And part of the questioning, I said, hey, so do you guys have your driver's licenses? And they said, oh, no, we're not old enough. I said, what are you talking about? At 16 and a half, you can get your license. And they said, yeah, but you have to pay $800 to go to driver's ed in order to get your license at 16 and a half. And so hardly anybody in the city gets their license when they're 16 and a half. They have to wait till they're 18 and they don't have to do that anymore. So I said, oh, wow, okay, well, you have your permits? Yeah, we have our permits. Are you taking some driving time? He said, no, we just don't have anybody that can do that. So I will. And anyway, so for the next couple of months, I went with Brady, you know, once a week we drove and we had some great conversations in the car. We went and got his license. And he, you don't know this part, he just called me up a few days ago and said, Dave, I got this, I don't have a car yet, but I got this deal on a car. I'm a little bit short. Can you help me? So he drove up and I borrowed a car from the company and I gave him a little bit of money. And so that's been a joy. Isaiah is a kid who graduated from Westfield State, and he's a teacher now at Kennedy Middle School. All these are African American kids, and I meet with Grady now every other week or so. We have coffee. We talk about how life is going. I'm helping him with his car as well. It's been in a shop, and then Gideon, this kid who also just graduated with the dreadlocks and whatnot, and he just called me and said, "Hey, I understand you help kids drive." Learn how to drive. I said, yeah, so I'm going down there this coming week to help. So that's been a joy. It makes me think of that verse where Jesus says, if you give even just as much as a cup of cold water to somebody, you've not lost the reward. So I guess for me, it's kind of cup of cold water kind of stuff, you know, that I think is more and more what I still am capable of doing, you know, as we all are, and not so much the building of things. But let me just finish by saying the greatest joy, I think, for me has been my family. That growing up with my wife, she's my best buddy. She's awesome. And we laugh and we giggle and we conspire and we get frustrated with each other too now and then, you know. But it's real good. And to see our kids involved in young life, you know, to see Caleb serving with Alex, you know, and with guys, and to see my daughter Callie, which is a surprise to me a little bit. She gave the club talk last night at Wildlife. She was pretty much in charge of the whole thing too, you know, and got kids right. I mean, she was sort of running the show. That stuns me that she's doing that, but I think it's great. I think it's great. And Katie is another story, you know. She's got a mind of her own, but we love her dearly. And Charlie's a sophomore in high school. He's involved as a club kid and a campaigner kid, too. So those things give me great joy.
My last question, Alex, was about your vision, but I think we have a picture of that already, you know, pretty much from what you've shared. How can we pray for you?
Well, he's got more to say about that.
Oh, he does?
Oh my goodness.
You want to, I'll unleash you. What about
your vision? I can make it quick. I'll give the SparkNotes version. So... Yeah, so I mean, really, it's
to reach
every high school.
It doesn't have to be quick. We do have sandwiches downstairs afterwards.
Gotcha. Well, I will just say, like, our area is very big. Areas aren't really defined territorially, I guess. But the way I picture it is that, like, there's a 35-minute radius around UMass. And UMass, I picture, is our hub for where the majority of our leaders come from. And so... by default, that kind of serves as like the center point. And then kind of 35 minutes would be, in my head, like the farthest they would drive to be able to be actually present in kids' lives. So within that radius, there are actually 8 high schools and 14 middle schools. Currently, we're in 3 of the high schools. And then the middle schools are kind of this, it's mostly one, but... a few kind of come together for an area club, and in order to get, and this kind of goes into that prayer question, but we need more leaders. There's so many kids who don't have Young Life leaders, and you know, Belchertown High School has some leaders, but there are kids at, you know, Northampton High School and Frontier High School who they deserve to have Young Life leaders who care about them, and they just don't right now. And part of that is, I come from Southwest Virginia, part of the Bible Belt, where there's tons of people dying to line up at the door and serve at a Christian capacity. But up here, over the past couple of years, I've kind of figured, well, we might have to produce them. And so Young Life actually has a branch that's specifically geared towards Young Life students, towards college students in the same way that we have Young Life for high school kids and Wildlife for middle school kids. And so we would love to start Young Life College at UMass and start to reach the 30,000 kids that go there. But that's probably going to take another staff person. So it's going to take another staff person and probably financially the capacity to fund them. this is a more long-term thing, but two towns over is Holyoke. And Holyoke, Massachusetts has the highest teen pregnancy rate in the state of Massachusetts. We can get into a lot of debates on is that right or wrong, biblically and all that stuff. But single moms just have it tough, and a lot of moms in that phase are kind of shunned by society. And Young Life actually has a branch now that's geared towards caring for teen moms and pregnant moms, and it's called Young Lives. And that's something that I would love to start as well. But again, that's probably going to take another staff person. As I've found with these ministries and like Young Life College, it usually doesn't take a staff person to maintain it, but it usually takes a staff person to start it. And so even in a temporary sense, need more finances to pull off more staff people to do it. But I think the harvest is plentiful in Hampshire County, so we just need more leaders.
Great.
I told you.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Any other requests or any other prayer requests?
For me, it's just a matter of wisdom to figure out what this transition is all about. I also love laying on a couch. I honestly, I don't know how many of you can relate to that, but I think at my age, I have to be much more intentional in saying, I can't spend my life on this couch. There are people to see and things to do and stuff like that. So I need to be nudged by the Holy Spirit regularly about that, and need to figure out. And you pray for our kids too. You know, they're at the point where they're figuring out life and what's ahead for them. So, and I'm serving Alex now. He's my boss, if you can believe that. So.
That's what I was going to say. Maybe you can recruit Dave to do some of these things.
Yeah. Alex has said you got Wildlife, Dave.
It still feels kind of awkward. So we don't put that title on it.
Yeah, no, we don't. It's true.
That's great. Thank you so much for coming and sharing with us.
Well, Alex might have a prayer request.
Oh, yes.
It's mainly centered around the financial capacity to pull this thing off, because there's a huge amount of people in Hampshire County that need Jesus. So, and not a lot of people who are willing to go to him. So,
that's great. Well, why don't we have a word of prayer, and then we'll have our last sign. Father, we just thank you for this time we've had together with Dave and Alex and with Gavin and Aiden. And we pray, Lord, that you would bless their ministry. We know, Lord, that the fields are white to harvest, that there are so many who have so many needs, but their real need is to find you. And so we pray, as they do these things, that you would provide the finances and the staff and all that they need, the wisdom, Lord, to go through these transitions. We just thank you, Lord, for Dave and his years of ministry and for Alex just starting out, and pray now, Lord, that you would just bless them richly with that wisdom and all that they need, that you would provide for them. And we know, Lord, that you will. We pray, Lord, that you'd bless what we are able to give them today through our special offering. And we just look forward to hearing more and more about what you are doing. And we thank you, Lord, the encouragement that they have been to us today. And Lord, may they increase our vision as we think about what we're doing for you or what we could be doing for you. And so bless us, Lord, as we have our vision inspired by theirs. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Did I, by the way, thank you guys for your support for the past 40 years or so?
Please. You did, Dave.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.